Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Eclipsed in so much that has been covered in the news media this week is a major study out from the RAND Corporation, and it leads to a very important conclusion. Solid data here, very solid research, indicating that there is indeed a link between the amount of sexual content on television and the issue of teen pregnancy. Now, I know many of you out there listening to me say this are saying you needed a study to prove that. But let me tell you why this is important. It is because so many in the media and those in the culturally creative class have been insisting for years that there is no link. There have been those who are educators and public policymakers and others who have been saying that it is ridiculous and unsustainable to claim that there is a link. That this is just entertainment, it's just cultural symbolism, but now we know differently. This study is not coming from some kind of conservative organization with an agenda. It's coming from the RAND Corporation, which is one of the largest and most venerable research think tanks in the United States. The study is out. I have a copy of it. It has been published in the peer-reviewed journal Pediatrics, which is the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics. We're going to be talking today about what we should think as parents and as Christians about this kind of content in the media. And we're going to revisit some of the issues that would come before us as parents when we think about allowing access to the media on the part of our children and teenagers. This is the kind of conversation that's good to have on a Friday, and on a Friday of a week of a national presidential election when the news media has been and is now still flooded with nothing but nonstop political speech. This is where we're going to be talking today about parents and responsibility, about the media and teenagers, and about, well, a study that shows us the obvious, that when you present sexual images, sexual storylines, sexual pictures, and you present sex in all of its accessibility in the American media today and insist that it has no impact upon the young, you're fooling yourself. Now, it's not only our moral hunch that says this, it's the RAND Corporation. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. To join the conversation, give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'd love to hear from many of you out there about this, what you think, what you have observed, and what you as parents are doing about this. It's the doing that is the part we really probably need to talk about more than anything else. If we as Christian parents hear this as just one more fact among other facts, that will be to our peril and the peril of our children. What are we going to do about this is the question. Yesterday I had the opportunity, very unexpectedly, got a call early in the day asking if I could spend some time with Dan Harris of ABC News. He is one of the anchors and reporters on ABC World News Tonight. And I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, had the opportunity to get to a studio, have the conversation. And many of you have seen it, and I have heard from many by email, but let me just play you a couple of clips from the conversation. The interviewer is Dan Harris of ABC News. This was from last night's World News Tonight.
There are Christian conservatives across the country tonight who are worried that their movement is in deep trouble. One of them is Dr. Albert Mohler, head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, who posted an anguished essay on his website saying the fight for the dignity and sanctity of unborn human beings has been set back by a great loss.
We're going to have some setbacks here. We're going to have some real days of disappointment. I think we need to be prepared for that.
Roll on to the next clip there.
There is even fear that some of their old allies could abandon them.
I think there's a real threat here that the Republican Party could decide to say to conservative Christians, there's the door. We're going to move in a different direction.
Now, one of the interesting things about the broadcast last night is that it draws into a pretty sharp relief, pretty sharp contrast, two different ways conservatives are responding to the election on Tuesday. And this is not the main topic of our conversation today. But as a preliminary matter, looking at issues in the news, I think it's something we ought to note. And I would just suggest to you that as this week comes to an end, and as you get ready for the media kind of coverage, the conversations you're likely to have, even some of the conversations I think Christians are likely to have at church among Christian friends over this weekend and on the Lord's Day, here is the basic question before us now. In response to Tuesday's election, do we see that, for instance, there was a conservative majority that just wasn't mobilized, that just didn't get excited about John McCain and just didn't get out? Or do we learn from Tuesday's election that there wasn't a conservative majority that had been presumed upon, that had been apparent in previous election cycles? The question is, did conservatives just not show up, or were conservatives outnumbered? That's another way to put it. And where is the culture going? Where's the polity going? That's another question for us. Not the question for today's program, but it's something for you to be thinking about. I would just suggest that as you process in your own thinking the election and the news media coverage, that's a key issue. And it's very interesting that I was juxtaposed on that broadcast on World News Tonight with other news media stories dealing with the same question from some evangelicals saying, we just need to have a better candidate. We just need to get back to the same message. We just need to go back to the same game plan. I will be first in line to say we have to stand by our convictions. We have to stand by the sanctity of every single human life from conception until natural death. We have to stand by the integrity of the family. But I think the lesson that was learned on Tuesday is that the challenge is far greater than we thought. Far greater than we thought. And that doesn't mean we surrender. To the contrary, it means we just have to dedicate ourselves anew. But it also means we have to understand that the landscape has been changed around us. And the challenge is going to be more difficult. And we're going to have to learn how to speak to a generation that evidently isn't hearing us very well. And we can't change our message. But we're going to have to think very carefully about how we communicate that message and reach a generation that evidently isn't hearing us. I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on that. Write me at albertmuller.com or just go to your mail server and write me at mail@albertmuller.com and it will get to me as well. The state of New Hampshire is considering something pretty interesting, and that is allowing teenagers, indeed encouraging teenagers, to graduate at age 16. New Hampshire education officials announced on the day before Halloween a new rigorous state board of exams to be given to 10th graders. Students who pass will be ready to move on to the state's community or technical colleges, thus skipping the last 2 years of high school. Now, that's really interesting. Now, I wonder if this is the state of New Hampshire beginning to catch the wind of what's going on. I was just recently, of all places, at Brigham Young University, the central institution of Mormonism. I was there as a visitor. And as a Christian visitor to the campus of Brigham Young University, I wanted to see what was going on there. Had a very interesting visit. But here's the interesting thing. I talked to some of the very, very bright and friendly young people on that campus, and a good many of them had been homeschooled and started college with advanced standing or at very young ages. I talked to a young man who was checking me out when I was buying books at the campus bookstore. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm going to be at the campus bookstore. And the young man who was checking me out was 17 years old and started college when he was 16 because he had graduated as a homeschooler and was doing well, had obviously passed all the tests for admission and was ready to go. And that just tells you something of the way of the future. I wonder if the folks in New Hampshire are beginning to understand this. Let me tell you that we already know. It doesn't take much educational expertise to know that at least half the time in high school is wasted. A part of high school is just waiting for kids to grow up. And obviously the state of New Hampshire says, hey, if they're able to pass these tests in the 10th grade, at the end of the 10th grade, they don't need the 11th and 12th grades. Let them go into college. And I think that is a great idea. And my guess is it's going to be infectious because it's really going to give an advantage to these kids. It's also going to give an incentive, isn't it? I mean, if you say to a teenager, look, you're tired of school, I'll tell you what, you really do well. You pass these tests at the end of the 10th grade. You can go on to college. I think there are an awful lot of kids who are going to say, I'll take that challenge. And it's going to be very interesting to watch. That's reported in Time magazine. Got a lot of coverage, by the way, in the international media. When we were so consumed with talking about the election, that made news in other parts of the world. Speaking of news, Craigslist, the fastest growing internet sales site in terms of what used to be called classified advertising, has reached a settlement with state's attorneys general across the nation. Now get this, it's a settlement about prostitution. It turns out that Craigslist has become a major place for marketing prostitution. Now, what kind of agreement would come out? Well, Craigslist officials have agreed with the attorneys general of the states to do what? To require that anyone who posts an erotic services ad, that's the phrase they use, be required to provide a working phone number and pay a fee with a valid credit card. And upon the presentation of a subpoena, That information will be turned over to local law enforcement authorities. Now we're going to find out if Craigslist continues as a place of prostitution. The services will tell us whether or not the state's attorneys general and other local officials intend actually to do anything about prosecuting that crime. When we come back, we're going to be talking about sexual content on the television and its impact on teenagers. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The link between sexual content in the media and teen sexuality should be obvious. It's just commonsensical. But it's the kind of common sense that is routinely denied, not just where it doesn't matter, but where it does. Because policymakers, academics, those who fashion themselves as the cultural creatives, those who are producing these cultural products, whether it's music and music videos or movies and television shows and all the rest, they've insisted that it has nothing to do with actual teenage behavior. Now we know otherwise. Of course, parents, you've had this hunch and this knowledge for a long time, and those with a Christian worldview have had an understanding of why there is obviously a link between these things, because what goes in the mind and shapes the heart comes out in behavior. That's a basic biblical principle. But it's interesting now that the Rand Corporation has produced this study, which is just irrefutable, suggesting that there is a clear and demonstrable link between sexual content in the media and teen sexuality in general, teen pregnancy specifically. And just to add some credence to this in terms of how others are receiving the report, the official journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the journal known as Pediatrics, has published this study. The article in the journal is entitled, "Does Watching Sex on Television Predict Teen Pregnancy? Findings from a National Longitudinal Survey of Youth." Interesting stuff. Just a few data points from this. So let me read to you the last section of the published article in the journal Pediatrics. It says this: "Our study clearly suggests that television plays a role in shaping adolescent reproductive health outcomes. Given the high rates of teen pregnancy in the United States, our findings argue for continued evaluation of television's role in teen pregnancy and for prevention strategies that factor in the role of portrayals of sexuality on television and in other media. Moreover, this work supports the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations that pediatricians encourage family conversations about the influence of media on sexual behavior." Okay, that's academic speak. A relatively tame version of academic speak, by the way. We could pretty much understand exactly what was meant there. But when the authors of the study published their conclusions, it came out a little crisper. Listen to this. "This is the first study to demonstrate a prospective link between exposure to sexual content on television and the experience of a pregnancy before age 20. Limiting adolescent exposure to the sexual content on television and balancing portrayals of sex in the media with information about possible negative consequences might reduce the risk of teen pregnancy. Parents may be able to mitigate the influence of this sexual content by viewing with their children and discussing these depictions of sex." End quote. All right. Point number one. Every parent already knows in his or her heart that there is this link. These negative consequences of viewing sexual content are not something outside of our control. That's the amazing thing here. I wanted you to hear exactly the way this report was written, because it is written as if parents have no control on these things being seen. And there just seems to be the assumption that teenagers are going to consume this kind and volume of sexually explicit material. By the way, one of the doctors in the report, the lead author was Anita Chandra, behavioral scientist at Rand. She said this: "We know that if a child is watching more than an hour of TV a day," let me just put a little break in there, only an hour? An hour. Most children we know are watching far more than an hour. But it says, if they're watching as much as an hour, we know that there's a sexual scene in the content every 10 minutes. Okay, so 1 hour means, on average, 6 explicit sexual scenes of one form or another across the lines of the media. Really, really interesting stuff coming in here. I've been looking at a survey, just a representative sample of the kind of coverage of this report in the media. And it's the kind of response you would expect from a secular world with a secular mind trying to say, how do we process this? We need to, and I love the second part of this this recommendation, we need to balance these portrayals of sex with honesty about the, quote, possible negative consequences of early sexualization, end quote. In other words, this means, and this is exactly what we pretty much would expect the secular world to respond to with this, this is what we need. We need to balance those images with other messages. All right, I've got a different idea. Let's disallow exposure to the images. This is sort of like saying, all right, let's put the child in danger, but let's encase them with as much safety equipment as possible. Let's let them play out in the middle of the road, but let's make sure they do it with knee pads and chin pads and a helmet. You know, I don't think any parent would actually consider that to be sane. Now, there's a third part to this, and this one, you just have to wonder if anyone writing this study actually is a parent. It suggests, with a straight face, apparently, because it's in the end of the report and it's in the conclusion section, here's what you need to do, parents. This is what they're saying. You need to watch the sexually explicit material with your teenagers and then talk about it with them. I don't see that happening. I guess what I'm saying is I don't see parents who would allow teenagers to see those things to then have the right things to say to them after they're seen. Or it's just going to be the old safe sex kind of response, like the advertisement I saw not too long ago about the mother who said, I have learned that I really need to care for my children, so I have teenage sons, and I have changed the cookie jar. No longer has cookies in it. Now it has condoms because I want them to be safe. All right. I want to hear from you. I want to hear especially from those who are thinking about how Christians should respond to this. How should Christian parents think about this? You know, victimization is central to this entire worldview behind this study. Now, I'm thankful for the study and demonstrating the link that ought to be obvious to anyone. I'm thankful that we now have a footnote we can use in arguments when we talk about the impact of these sexual images and the generalized sexual content in the media. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you, I'm not at all thankful for the implication here that teenagers are the victims of this, or that families are the victims of this. You know, the assumption here is that teenagers and even younger than teenagers, you know, older children, are simply the masters of their own media fate. You know, if you believe that in your home, shame on you. You know, that's why you are there as parents, is to prevent that kind of unrestricted thing. The same way you worry about where they are, you better know where they are at any time. You don't let them stay out late at night. You don't let them just hang around on unsafe parts of town. You don't let them go play in the middle of the interstate. This is just common sense parenting. I want to hear from you. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This was eclipsed by other issues in the media this week, and let's just be honest, understandably so. There's a national presidential election, a huge election with huge consequences, lots to talk about, lots of looking back at the election, looking back at the campaign, looking forward at the new administration, looking forward at political trends. That is going to dominate the news media, not just this week, but for some time to come. But there are important things out there we really need to note, and I'll tell you the truth. I think this is a big one. I think when this kind of report gets out, it becomes something that at least is footnoted in conversations so that the people who are producing this kind of stuff have to take a little more responsibility. But here's what they're doing. They're saying, okay, parents, you watch with them and have a conversation about it. If that's your plan, call and tell me about it. I'd love to have the discussion. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Listening to the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Cedric just wrote into the program to say it's not just television, not just the media. The problem is also school systems and elsewhere where children are being confused on these issues, and that's very true. Point well made. The reality is, however, that kids are spending an incredible amount of time in the media and with an impact. The phone number to join this conversation is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Josiah, listening on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. You've got it, Josiah.
Hello, Dr. Mohler.
Go right ahead. We're glad to hear from you.
I just want to say that I'm a teenager, and part of the problem in my mind is that the media has stereotyped us in saying this is how teens are and this is what they want.
Okay, so play that out just a little bit, Josiah. You're saying that it's an unrealistic picture of adolescence, or at least of all adolescence, that that you see in the media.
Yeah, I mean, you go watch any TV show that's geared towards teenagers, and they will have a love story, always. And they will usually play that out in what I consider an inappropriate manner. And, you know, anything geared towards teenagers, you will see that. So, you know.
Well, let me tell you why, Josiah, and that's a very keen insight. I really appreciate you calling with it. And there's a whole lot behind your call I appreciate. And let me tell you why that's so. It's so for two reasons. Number one, it is because they think that a story about a teenager actually growing up, say, in a healthy family, living in a healthy way with all the right protections, isn't going to make for a good story. That's a part of it, Josiah. And I got to tell you, I think they're wrong, but nonetheless, that's a part of their presumption. There's another part of it, Josiah, and that is that there is an agenda here. Those who are producing these things not only would say this is the way teenagers are, they're really saying this is the way teenagers should be. And I got to tell you, a part of understanding what's going on here, and I'm sure you see a lot of this as you're thinking about this, is that the people who are presenting this are often rationalizing their own behavior. That's just a bottom line. And anyone who knows anything about Hollywood knows that's really a part of this as well. Josiah, I appreciate your call. Thanks for listening and thanks for calling. Stay strong, stay true, stay pure. And I pray for you that you'll get all the things that God would have for you in your life in the right measure, in the right time, with all the joy. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Bobby calling from Clarksville, Maryland. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Mohler. I'm a first-time caller. I can appreciate this topic, especially tonight. I don't have teenage kids yet, but from what I understand and see is that our children are having to deal with a lot of peer pressure. And as Christian parents, the hardest thing is trying to give them the rope, the leeway to go out there and feel comfortable enough to not think that this world is such a scary place, but not to conform at the same time. And I just went to see Fireproof, which I thought was an awesome movie, and I saw parents bringing in their teenagers. And what I would say is that as parents, as Christian parents, we have to stop being afraid to bring up these things and to deal with them head on and say, you know, I know you're feeling certain feelings, and I know it must be difficult, but let's talk about it and let's come together so that we can work it out. And as a collective, as Christians, to say we want to see films like Fireproof, which was more for couples, but to see those type of stories played out maybe for our children that relate to similar pressures and how to deal with them.
Bobby, I appreciate your call. I think there's a lot to that as well. And I think, you know, the whole issue of responsibility there is absolutely crucial. And I appreciate the points you made in your call. And, you know, when you start thinking about this issue, you realize that it is, well, let's put it this way. You said that parents ought to talk with their kids about these things honestly. I think that's absolutely true, and it's wonderful to hear from someone to articulate it the way you did. I think that's just very different than what this study is actually calling for, which just makes me want to scratch my head and wonder if these are talking about real people here, that parents should watch this sexually explicit material with their kids and then talk to them about it afterwards. I just don't think so. I like your plan a lot better, Bobby. Talk with it. With your children about this, have an open discussion, and you described that very well. But you set the terms, and, you know, eroticizing a situation and then trying to clean it up just doesn't appear to me to make any sense whatsoever. Not when you understand the impact of these messages, the impact of the images, and all the rest. I think I think that has a lot to do with what's going on here. There are people who look at this mess and say, well, let's just let it happen and then clean it up. I just have to say, I think that is fundamentally irresponsible. Give me a call at 877-893-TALK. That's 877-893-8255. Join me on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I'd love to hear from some parents about the kinds of decision you're making relating to your teenagers. Little TV, a lot of TV, no TV, which movies? How are you dealing with this? The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, we are in a media-saturated age, and I just want to hold out the honest realization that even when your kids, our kids, and not just yours, mine, even when our kids aren't watching that stuff, they're going to pass by the billboards. It's impossible unless we're just going to move out in the country and not let our kids off the property, and they've got no access to airwaves or digital transmission. It's going to be impossible to keep them from seeing a lot of this stuff, and they're a part of a culture that is just saturated with it. But that doesn't mean we have to allow them to immerse themselves in it. I think that's the key issue. Are we actually serving as the gatekeepers we are supposed to be? Now, let's just imagine something for a moment. You know, in the Bible, one of the key metaphors for humanity is the sheep. And you know what happens when sheep are left to their own devices? They wander off. All we like sheep have gone astray. They go off in their own directions. But no one who loves sheep leaves them vulnerable. That's the point. And that's why one of the sweetest images of Christ is that of the shepherd. And in one of the I am statements in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Pastors, by the way, are described as shepherds. As a matter of fact, the very word pastor really goes back to a pastoral scene, which is shepherding. And there's a very important shepherding protective issue there and responsibility there. But, you know, I think a lot of parents, when it comes to the media, allow their kids to go out like lambs into a very vulnerable and dangerous territory. You know, I was speaking yesterday on the campus of another seminary, Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. I preached a message on Deuteronomy 6 entitled, How Not to Raise a Pagan. And that, by the way, that message is found on my website at albertmueller.com. You can watch the audio or listen. You can watch the video, that is, and watch the television, or you can listen by means of the audio. And one of the things I address in that, in background, is that, when we have kids today, here's what we do. Just get the kid and have to take the kid home from the hospital in the car. What happens? Well, the hospital's not even going to put the kid in the car until the kid is completely surrounded by all this safety equipment. You're going to have the car seat. You're going to have the car seat facing the right way. You're going to have it fastened the right way. You're going to have the kid in there. By the time that little tiny infant is ready to go home, you can barely see that little face surrounded by all of this protective equipment. We think we treat children as those who need to be protected. We send them out. You got to wear a helmet if you're going to ride your bicycle. You got to have the knee pads if you're going to skateboard. We go after all this safety equipment. We put fences around their playgrounds. One of the interesting things right now is you see these playgrounds. It's hard to have kids playing the dirt anymore. The dirt's all disappeared. What is it now? It's all this rubber material just in case a kid should fall. Am I opposed to that? Of course not. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad we don't just throw kids in the back seat anymore like you did when I was growing up, but rather we have car seats and seat belts and all the rest. But on the moral issues, we've gone the other direction. All the protections that we used to have, we've compromised. The fences that we used to have up, we've taken down. The kinds of protections that we used to assume were absolutely necessary are now politically incorrect, and if not that, they're just ideologically eroded, and if not ideologically, just from fatigue. Busy parents, too busy with other concerns, in many ways simply aren't dealing with these issues. And so we're sending our kids out into the traffic. We're letting the lambs wander off into the wilderness. And when they come back injured and hurt, when they come back corrupted and contaminated, and when they come back confused, and as this study says, they come back pregnant, we say, how could this happen? But we have to take a lot of responsibility. You know, when I start looking at this, I'll tell you one of the interesting things about this article in the journal Pediatrics is that it acknowledges the role of parents. Well, it's about time. By the way, another embedded fact in this particular report is that when you look at the issue of teenage pregnancy, it is far less likely to happen in a two-parent home. Now, you say, well, that's politically incorrect. Yes, it is politically incorrect, but it's statistically obvious. And for reasons that we ought to be able to recognize and understand. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Crystal's on the line. Crystal, what are you thinking?
Well, I just wanted to let you know, Dr. Muller, that as a church, our church body decided for a summer Sunday school curriculum to mandate the 7th through 12th graders and any college kids or singles who wanted to be part of it. We split the boys and the girls up, and they went through every young man's battle and every young woman's battle because we felt it was very important that our children understand what they're going to be put up against, what they're facing every day, and how to combat it.
Crystal, I'm very, very thankful to hear of a church that's taking some responsibility here, and there's everything right about that church taking that responsibility. There's only one danger I see in this, and that is that parents better not think that that suffices for their responsibility. It's not enough as a Christian parent to make sure your kid's in the right program at church. Eventually, you're going to have those conversations. So, Crystal, I am very thankful for your call. I'm thankful to hear of a church that's taking that kind of action. I'm thankful for the sensitivity of your church in separating the girls and the boys in that particular setting. And, you know, I'll tell you the truth. There are an awful lot of men who need to be in there with the boys. There are an awful lot of women who need to be in there with the girls because this is not just a situation or a phenomenon that is affecting the very young. It's just that, just like in every other creature, the very young are the most vulnerable. Crystal, thanks so much for your call. You know, when you start thinking about this and you start laying out possible responses, like with every other issue, one response is no response. You know, you just respond by saying we're not going to do anything. So if you don't do anything, here's just my assurance. I'm not the prophet or a son of a prophet, but I'm absolutely certain of this. If you decide to do nothing, then your children are going to be sexualized early. If they're not sexualized in terms of their physical expression, they're going to be sexualized in terms of their souls and the images and the scripts that run through their mind. Doing nothing is just not an acceptable Christian response. It's just not an acceptable parental response. It's not an acceptable response. Shouldn't be considered an acceptable response in the secular world, and that's why this secular journal is saying parents have to be a part of the issue. When the journal Pediatrics understands that, it ought to be a scandal that any Christian would fail to have been ahead of a secular journal on this. And by the way, just again, the RAND Corporation has established a scientific link between this sexualized content and the sexual behavior of adolescents. If Christian parents have been waiting for that kind of research, it makes me wonder what else they're waiting on what other issues. Back with final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Very quickly, we're going to go to Sarah, listening on WTLR in State College, Pennsylvania. Sarah, what are you thinking?
Yes, Dr. Mueller, I totally agree with your opinions, and we decided, my husband and I together, not to have a television in our home so that our kids are not constantly exposed to it. Now, they still are other places, but at least this way we can be very careful about what they see.
Well, I can understand that decision, and I think there are probably a lot of Christian parents who have come to at least a close position to yours, and that they've probably restricted the television. I'll admit we have televisions in our home. Given what I do in the media, it's pretty hard not to do it, yet we have very limited access to those televisions. They're not on all the time, and when we do watch programming together, it's controlled, and a lot of that programming is really, really old. And so you're looking at black and white. That's our family's entertainment. And that's just something. I appreciate, Sarah, your honesty, too, in saying, you know, they may pick up on this stuff elsewhere. But, you know, that's where you're the parent, too. And your intentionality as a Christian parent, you and your husband as Christian parents, that's really going to make a big difference. And I really appreciate the fact that you are thinking that through. And, you know, I have to come back to say, if the alternative is kids having independent access, unfettered access, even any kind of significant access to television, yeah, I would take it out. I think that's just, it's not just, by the way, the quality of it, it's the quantity. It's not just that they are watching television, it's that they should be doing something else. And we know that in our hearts. Now, you do need a radio in the home because you need to listen to this program. And so let me be very self-serving to say there's one medium you need to keep close at hand, and that's your radio. We want to thank those of you who are listening by radio, those listening also by podcast, and we want to hear from you. Write me at mail@albertmuller.com or go to the website at albertmuller.com and send me a message. I think you'll be interested if you go to the website right now to hear the message that I preached yesterday on how not to raise a pagan. And there'll be an article series on that coming out. We'll be talking about that in future programs. But that's an issue, I think, that ought to be very much on our minds right now, not only as parents, certainly centrally as parents, but as Christians. Because all of us as Christians in the church have a responsibility for children. And we better be very, very much aware that if we do not parent and raise these children with biblical content, biblical knowledge, and biblical discipline, then they are going to be pagans, because if you will open your eyes and see, we are living surrounded by paganisms new and old. Back next week for Intelligent Christian Conversation. I'll meet you then. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmuller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmuller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.